Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I'm really excited to talk to you about, you know, finding your happiness and your joy in midlife. Now, midlife, for some people, I don't know how old you are and you're listening to this, you might think, I'm 33 and I'm in midlife. And some of you might be 55 and saying, am I in midlife yet? So today I have with me Dr. Anna Garrett, who is an expert in helping us to feel good at midlife as women. And if you're a man listening to this, we're going to teach you all the behind the scenes stuff to treat the women in your life very gently and lovingly when they're going through these things. So Dr. Anna, welcome.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. So thanks for inviting me.
Well, good. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your story and how you got to do what you're doing?
Ooh, well, it's anything but linear. I am a pharmacist by training and have worked in a number of practice settings. The last one I worked in was as a manager at our local hospital here, and ended up taking, this is going to be the 5-second version, ended up taking a coaching certification program, because I knew I wanted to have my own business, because I wanted the freedom and flexibility to work anywhere. And so my intention when I did this was to coach women in midlife, because, you know, a lot of us, myself included, get to that point in life where you're looking down the last third of the road, more or less, and you're like, what do I really want? Yeah. And we may have had jobs that just kind of were soul sucking or whatever. And now you're ready to kind of launch yourself into the next thing. So that was what I was going to do. But then I was like, oh, well, I have this pharmacy degree, so it's really dumb for me to give that up. So how can I combine those things? And so I had a friend who, owned a compounding pharmacy in North Carolina, and I knew that she was doing some hormone work. And so I went and spent the day with her and sat in on some of her consultations. And when I left, I knew that was the missing piece. So I've gone on from there to get certified in functional medicine. I do a lot broader range of things beyond hormones. But it's all been about helping women in midlife create optimal wellness so that they can go on to become, as I put it, good old ladies. So there's more to the story than that. But in the interest of time, because it wasn't linear, we don't want to spend all day talking about me. So that's how I got where I am. And I started my business in 2011. And so I've been going for 12 years, and I love what I do, and everybody's a new puzzle. And most of the work I do is one-on-one, because that's what I enjoy the most. So, and I love doing podcasts. So I'm very excited to do this.
I love that. Today, I might ask you a lot of questions. Asking for a friend. Maybe in midlife. I was going to ask you, just define for us quickly, right? There's a lot of different kinds of doctors, right? And we traditionally know medical doctors that go through and have MDs. You say you got certified in functional medicine. What does that mean compared to standard MDs?
So people who are in the functional medicine space, and the program I went through actually includes MDs and nurse practitioners, PAs, PharmDs, health coaches. There's a whole broad range of people. We focus on finding the root cause of why somebody's having a problem. So whereas traditional Western medicine is more about, I have this problem here, have this pill, and putting band-aids on things, what the functional medicine practitioners try to do is go a little further upstream and figure out, okay, what is it exactly that's causing you to have the problem? And then fixing that underlying problem and, you know, hopefully in the process, avoiding medications or whatever. So it's, you know, some people think of it as being like holistic medicine. I say it's a little bit deeper than that. Because holistic means a lot of things to a lot of people, but that's essentially what it is.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love that you also have a pharmacy background, mm-hmm. because we all know our doctors are like, well, if you don't know what that's going to do with that, call your pharmacist. And I've usually found pharmacists to be incredibly educated on a wide swath of things. So for you to be a PharmD and certified in functional medicine, you got my vote.
Well, and I tell people who ask me, you know, how do I find a doctor in my community that knows what they're doing with hormones? I tell them, go to the compounding pharmacy and ask them, because they're going to know who actually knows what they're doing and who doesn't. So I think pharmacists are a very underutilized resource. And I love that I can bring my more Western training into a more holistic picture. And help people that way and be able, you know, to look at the drug interactions and all that kind of stuff. So keep people out of trouble.
Okay, got it. And, you know, quickly kind of asking for a friend, I would love to talk about the dreaded weight gain and the menopause belly that happens during peri and menopause. And, you know, let's just go there, right? And for those of you, you want to give us a quick definition of perimenopause versus menopause, and then we can get to the weight.
So perimenopause is an approximate 5 to 10 year period where your hormones begin to change in the run-up to menopause. So it can start as early as your mid to late 30s. And the signs of it can be very subtle. So insomnia or new anxiety or new food sensitivities or some gut problems you didn't have before. I mean, it spans a whole range of things where if you go to your doctor and you say, gosh, I'm not sleeping very well, and I'm really anxious and my moods are all over the place, they're going to probably give you a prescription for an antidepressant or birth control pills or whatever. And that's the Band-Aid, without really talking to you about, well, what else are you noticing? So anyway, that's a 5 to 10 year period called perimenopause. And it really is characterized by high estrogen levels that are created when you have low progesterone to balance it out. And so when we talk about the weight gain, that'll be the first thing we talk about. So menopause is actually only one day of your life, and it's the day that marks a year since you had your last period. And then everything after that is postmenopause. So it's three distinct phases.
Interesting. I've never heard that definition. So menopause is your 1 year anniversary, and Correct. Now you're postmenopause.
Exactly. Now, how they decided on a year, I really don't know. Some man somewhere pulled that out of thin air and said, well, if you haven't had a period in a year, you're probably not going to. Well, which is true for a lot of people, but every once in a while, you'll get somebody who says, well, I had another one at 14 months. And, you know, so there can be a range of experiences there.
Okay, got it. And so let's, you know, traditional doctors will, you know, say, well, yeah, you know, your metabolism's going to slow down, so you're not going to be able to eat as much as you used to. Are you drinking more wine? Do you need to walk a little bit more? Tell me about this. When you see that dreaded 5-6 pounds come up out of nowhere.
So that's actually very common, as you just said, and it can happen for a variety of reasons. So let's talk a little bit about what those reasons are, because there's a lot of them. Number one, and this is just a normal physical thing that happens in menopause is the fat from your butt moves up to your waist. And there really there isn't a whole lot you can do about that. So that's just kind of part of the game. Okay. So estrogen dominance, which is where estrogen and progesterone are out of balance, allows estrogen to basically run the show in your body all month. And estrogen's role in your body is to grow tissue. So it stimulates the development of fat tissue. Okay. So, and then fat tissue in and of itself produces estrogen. So it's like your fat tissue has little estrogen factories, which just worsens the whole estrogen dominance picture.
So you're like estrogen dominant at that point.
Right. And so for women who are overweight, they tend to have more issues with symptoms postmenopausally because they have this fat tissue that's still cranking out estrogen. Okay, so second problem, your thyroid. So women in midlife tend to be more likely to develop hypothyroidism. In fact, there's a whole epidemic of undiagnosed hypothyroidism, and that slows down your metabolism and can contribute to weight gain. The third thing is cortisol. So if you are under constant stress, your body hangs on to every calorie because it thinks it needs it to, you know, fight the tiger in your life, when the tiger may just be what's going on in your head, but your body doesn't know that. So your body's always eavesdropping on your thoughts. And if the thoughts you're thinking are stressful, your cortisol levels stay elevated. And that causes weight gain around your middle as well. And then insulin resistance is another problem that becomes more prevalent as we go into midlife. And basically, that is where your body doesn't use the glucose that you take in nearly as effectively. So insulin is the hormone that takes care of breaking down the glucose. And what happens is your cells become resistant. So it's like somebody knocking on the door, and the glucose is trying to get in and nobody's answering the door. And so the end result of that, in its worst case scenario, is type 2 diabetes. So there are ways to deal with all of these things, but it requires a lot of lifestyle work. And people, in my experience, would prefer you to give them some magic bullet to fix the problem.
Yeah.
So do the lifestyle work.
Lifestyle, schmeistyle. Give me a pill.
Right.
Exactly. Lose the weight, feel good, sleep well, have no hot flashes.
Well, it's like all these weight loss drugs now, you know, the Mounjaro and Ozempic and all those. It's like that doesn't change anything about your relationship with food or how you're living your life or your stress levels. And now they're, you know, the drug companies are like, oh, these are going to need to be lifelong drugs. And I'm like, well, what are we creating with that? So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that will become more apparent as we move along with those drugs.
So interesting. Well, tell us, I suppose, where, you know, I'm a student of medicine just because I enjoy it and I like knowing about my body. In a previous life, I thought I would become a physician. So I fancy myself as a hobbyist. So
a hobbyist
here. So that's why I'm very interested in having people with your expertise on the show, because I think that so often, again, it's like, what can we be doing that we're not being told to do at this point? So you've mentioned a good few things. You know, I can say a lot of physicians, when you ask them, well, should I measure my estrogen or my hormone levels? It's like, nah, doesn't really matter. What is the functional medicine take on that?
Well, most of my colleagues, myself included, would say it's important to look at the balance of the hormones to each other.
Okay.
When tested at the correct time in a woman's cycle. So, you know, maybe this is just my cynical point of view, but when a physician says, oh, there's no use in testing hormones, it basically means they don't know what to do with them. But that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, every lab test you do is a snapshot in time, right? So do we make clinical decisions based on what your blood sugar is? Yes, we do. Is that a snapshot in time? Yes, it is. Can you get somebody to do a finger stick blood glucose reading and get different levels in each finger at the same time? Yes. So what I tell clients or potential clients is, the absolute number that you get of estrogen or progesterone or testosterone or whatever we're measuring isn't really what I'm looking for. It's the relationship. So is your estrogen a lot higher than your progesterone? Is your cortisol pattern all out of whack? Those are what's important to me, because then we can begin to craft a plan to address your stress. And to rebalance things. Exactly. So as long as that testing is done at the appropriate time of day with respect to cortisol, or at the right time of the month with respect to estrogen and progesterone, it is valuable information, and it does allow for decision-making that can positively impact my clients. And so, you know, I've never seen anything so fiercely debated on the internet as to the value of hormone testing. I find it invaluable. You know, I can do a Dutch test, which is a urine test. I can do a serum test, which has its pitfalls. I mean, they all have their pitfalls. We can do saliva testing. I prefer that just for cortisol, but I think it's crazy to make clinical decisions based on no information. So yes, someone's symptoms are information, but would you treat somebody with high blood pressure medications just on symptoms? They come in, they say, I have a headache. Oh, you must have high blood pressure. Wouldn't you check their blood pressure? Wouldn't you check blood sugar before putting somebody on diabetes medications? So I don't know. To me, it's sort of the same argument. It's just that a lot of doctors don't know what to do with it.
Interesting, because it's not being taught in medical school.
Correct. So I don't know if there was an article that came out probably 5 years ago about what doctors do get taught about hormones in medical school, and it was done by AARP. So they went around to all these OBGYN residency programs and surveyed them about what got taught about hormones. And I think it was 20% of residency programs had any kind of teaching about hormones. And of that 20%, most of it was elective. And so we think OBGYNs, man, they're the hormone experts. No, they're in business to help you have babies. And once you get on the other side of the reproductive spectrum, it's kind of like, you know, the Wild Wild West. So and it's not their fault. They're not designing the curriculum. They are not incentivized to go out and get additional training in hormones, unless it just happens to be a specific area of interest, because their average office visit is 7 minutes. And so how much conversation can you have about someone's hormones in a 7-minute visit? You just can't. And that's why birth control pills, antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds, because it's easy.
Pharmacy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right. And have a pill.
You know, and then the flip side of that is, even if they're going to use hormones, compounding pharmacists make hormones in any dose that you can imagine. And that's a beautiful thing, because a lot of people can't tolerate what happens to be commercially available. But big pharma has put this spin on compounding that, oh, you know, there's no standardization. They're not FDA approved, blah, 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 blah. Well, pharmacists aren't, you know, in the back room just whipping up whatever. They have standards. No, it's not FDA approved, but, you know, they use the compounds that our body naturally produces: estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, and those things can't be patented because they are substances that our body makes. So unless they can tweak the dosing form or like estradiol, let's take that for instance. So compounding pharmacy is going to put it in a cream or whatever. And so what pharma did was they put it in a patch with a specific delivery matrix, and they were able to patent that because of that, the way it's delivered. So if anybody ever tells you it's not about money and drugs, they're lying.
It is. It always is.
Totally.
Welcome to America. Welcome to America. So if you had a late 40s, early 50s woman who said, yes, I am now post menopause, mm-hmm. right? And I want to feel good in my body, right? Pretty healthy in general. What are the steps that you would take somebody through?
So I have basically a three-pronged approach to what I do. And so the foundation of that approach is lifestyle, because it does not matter what else you do if your lifestyle is a mess. And I personally think that underlying almost all hormone imbalances is stress. And, you know, we have talked our brains into believing that, you know, oh, well, I'm not stressed, I'm fine. But our bodies are telling us a completely different story. So when you're having symptoms, that is your body asking for help. So the lifestyle is the foundational part. Supplements are used as support while you are getting your lifestyle in order. They are not the magic bullet. And then, especially in postmenopause, I work with someone's physician, because I can't write prescriptions, to get bioidentical hormones implemented if that's appropriate. Not everybody wants to go that route. And I appreciate that, but there are a number of women that do, and there's an increasing body of evidence that's coming out about how beneficial hormone replacement can be for bone health, brain health, and cardiovascular health.
And the tests that are available, like the Dutch test or doing blood tests, do you believe those to be good indicators of people that should have HRT?
Yes. The only caveat I would say to that is the Dutch test is, if somebody has low testosterone on the Dutch test, they do recommend that you get a serum level to go with that to just make sure that they're comparable, because the Dutch test is sort of notorious for not having accurate testosterone levels. And some of that's genetic. So they just recommend a confirmatory test if somebody has low testosterone.
And then how do you do that? You have to get a blood test. Is mm-hmm. is that what a serum test is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A serum test is a blood test.
Yes.
I guess I'm not that good of a hobbyist.
Well, you're not done yet, so.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Got it. So lifestyle and then supplements. And then what's the third leg to the stool?
The hormone replacement.
The hormone replacement. Okay. Yeah. Got it. All right. That's fine. And, you know, a lot of our audience is single at this point. And how do you think this phase of life and what we feel could potentially affect you in the dating world? And I know before we started recording, you shared with me you'd been divorced and you've now found love. And I'm just going to venture a guess that you were dating to meet the current love. So you've been in the weeds that we've all been in.
I have, although I actually knew this person before. So I didn't have to go too deep into the weeds. But it has, you know, it has positive and negative impacts. And I think most of them are positive, you know, when you get when you get right down to it. So yes, we may feel things physically that are difficult. So lack of libido, vaginal dryness, those kinds of things can come up. But what I found was that my libido went up. So anyway,
And why is that? Do you think it's all of the, it's the hormone replacement, the supplements, or was it the fact that you had a hot new partner?
That one. Well, and I got on estrogen replacement before I met him. But I think it's just, you know, it's being with somebody who really just fits me. And I think in midlife, or I'd like to think anyway, that you've kind of figured out who's in and who's out, right? So you're not going to waste a bunch of time dating somebody who treats you like crap, or, you know, I think you can tell kind of like pretty quickly if somebody's your type or not, because we don't have time to waste. You know, we're either in or we're out. So, and then I think women in midlife are a lot less willing to settle for, you know, poor treatment and just garbage from other people, be it men or women. You know, you have your boundaries and, you know, am I allowed to curse?
Yes, please.
Okay. You've basically given all the fucks you have to give. And, you know, it's like, you don't like it. This is it right here. So,
here I am.
Right.
I'm done.
Warts and all. So,
what you see is what you get.
Exactly. So, you know, we're just too old to play games like that.
And confidence is so attractive.
Yeah.
And I think that as we get older, ladies, if you're listening to this, it's owning yourself and owning every piece of who you are and what your story is and the mm-hmm. tunnels of hellfire that you have walked through and the scars that you have show the warrior that you are. So being confident that you can walk your walk, you're going to pick a good person. If you don't know how to pick a good partner, that's why you come to us at Smart Dating Academy, where we wrap bubble wrap around you and we become the personal trainers for your love lives, helping you to make sure you don't get in your own way, but really doing the things that you can do to make yourself feel most confident. That's what's most attractive. When women come in, Anna, to Smart Dating Academy, and men, we do photo shoots and we'll talk about the clothes to bring and blah, 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 and all the things to really optimize the way you're looking. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't care how awesome your wardrobe is. If you don't bring that confidence and that playfulness and that I'm hot feeling to the photo shoot, the energy is going to read differently.
Well, and this is just from my experience with photo shoots, because the first one was, of course, the most intimidating of the bunch. A good photographer can bring that out of you. At least that was my experience. And then once I got past the first one, it was like, you know, no big deal. And the same person did all of them. So, and then she moved to Utah. I'm like, why? Now I don't have one.
You're like, come on now. What right. You have to go moving now? So,
but yeah, I mean, there's so much to dating and starting over. And, you know, I realize you run a Smart Dating Academy, and I applaud you for that, because I think it's certainly a very helpful thing for a lot of people. But there's nothing worse than growing old with somebody who is just a jackass. And there are a whole lot worse things than being alone. So I'll just throw that out there too.
Oh, absolutely. Right. When you realize that all the love you really need is inside of you, right? Mm-hmm. We have that source of love, and you realize that and you embrace that. The right person is just an and to your life, mm-hmm. but you are complete as you are, and you're alone. And my mom always, Renu, my mom always has the wisest wisdom, right? She's like, honey, we come into this world alone and we right. leave alone. We were meant, other people that come along the way, that's great. Partners, friends, but we came here alone and we're going to go alone.
Yep, exactly.
So it's okay to love yourself and be on your own and embrace that and know that your highest source energy, you were created from love. And just remember that whatever you believe about the universe or God, you were created from love. And when you think about that and you close your eyes and you put yourself and you say, wow, I'm going to tap into the love that I am, suddenly you start to relax. And you know what? Your cortisol is going to go down then.
Exactly.
Your cortisol is going to go down. So tell us a couple of things that our listeners can do today to bring their lifestyle more into balance. Because you say stress. I feel like who's not stressed today, right? And to some extent, if we weren't feeling stressed, we'd probably be dead because the tiger would come and eat us. And we'd be like, oh, I'm sitting here having a donut. So, oh, wow, there's a fire.
It's a delicate balance. So I think, you know, a first step in managing stress is to recognize that maybe you do have some. And so I'm going to just speak from my own experience, because that's really the only experience I can speak from as far as what I've had to do for myself. So I'm one of these people that if I see an open space on my calendar, it's got to have something in it, because otherwise I'm being a slacker. And so what I have had to do is take a step back and go, you know, I think I'd like to have Mondays and Fridays to myself. Because I'd like to play golf or go work out in the yard or go over to the Biltmore Estate and take a walk.
It's so pretty.
And the journey to that has been like, okay, I'm going to give myself 1 hour. Okay, I'm going to give myself a half day. And finally, I was just like, I'm going to have Fridays and Mondays. I think looking at your symptoms and what your body is trying to tell you. So if you are always feeling what I call clenchy, or if you get a second wind after dinner, or you have heart racing, or you're always just wired but tired, and then you need to step back and go, okay, what are my real priorities and how am I going to take care of this body? Because if you are constantly stressed, you're putting yourself at risk for all kinds of chronic diseases, because cortisol breaks down tissue. That's what it does if you are chronically high level. Yes, you want some, because that gives you the drive to, you know, get out of the way of the speeding bus or to meet a deadline or whatever. But if you've ever watched a dog, this was my dog. The UPS guy would drive into the driveway. The dog could hear the guy coming all the way down the block, and he'd be sound asleep and jump up and go to the front door and burr. UPS guy drives off, goes back to bed, and continues on with his nap. And that's how stress is supposed to be for us. But we think, oh, no, more. And it just doesn't work like that. So I would say developing routines that allow you to get more centered and come back into your body. So for some people, that's meditation. It's not for me, because I just start making my grocery list immediately.
I liked you.
So I recently got a heart math device. So for people who aren't familiar with it, it's a little sensor that clips on your ear. And then there's an app on your phone, and it basically teaches you how to breathe and shows you how your heart rate variability, which is a measure of stress, changes with those breathing exercises. They also have some guided meditations, which I prefer because somebody's talking to me. This Aura Ring is great. It measures my heart rate variability at night. So am I getting into parasympathetic mode where I'm really resting deeply, or am I staying in a more sympathetic space where I'm not resting as deeply? So there are all kinds of devices and gadgets. If you're that kind of person, I happen to be one of them, obviously. But Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do to manage stress, but you do have to recognize it. And then sleep, feed yourself well, avoid alcohol too much. I mean, all the things that people tell you that really do make a difference.
So what is too much alcohol? Like, where did I hear this? For women, it's now 5 or less drinks a week. And for men, it's 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that 1 to 2 glasses of wine per night because you like it probably ain't going to fly anymore. Just saying.
Well, and there's a number of problems with alcohol beyond the obvious ones of, you know, making an ass of yourself if you drink too much of it. But it can contribute to weight gain because it's empty calories and your body will preferentially burn that because it's so refined. And then everything you eat that your body doesn't need for energy gets stored as fat. It also increases estrogen levels. So it can contribute to the estrogen dominance problem, and it also increases your risk of breast cancer. So I can't remember. I think for every drink a day you drink, it like raises your risk of breast cancer. I want to say 7%, but I've always thought that sounded really high, but that's what I read. So there's just not a lot of upside.
Wow.
I know. Buzzkill.
Well, yeah, no pun intended. And so it's basically like you're saying, from a lifestyle standpoint, do the things everybody's telling you. Get the sunlight, move your body, don't eat crap, don't drink crap.
Exactly. Right.
And if so, to do a cortisol test, how would we do that?
So I have done it two ways. It's included in the Dutch test. So that's the way I do it now.
Oh, okay.
But before the Dutch test existed, I used saliva testing. But the Dutch test allows a little more in-depth look into cortisol in that it looks at the metabolites that are produced. So it allows you to get a little more data around that, whereas saliva testing just does cortisol, but it's an okay way to do it too. But they're similarly priced. So since it's in the Dutch test, I just go that route.
And there's a couple different Dutch tests, mm-hmm. if I remember. Is there one that's better than the other?
So if you feel that stress is a component of what you have going on, the Dutch, I always forget which is which. Dutch Plus has the urine test, and then it also includes a saliva component, which is really looking at cortisol. It looks at it in the urine too, but it's got that saliva component that goes with it. So you're measuring your cortisol the second you wake up, then 30 minutes later, and then 30 minutes after that. So what we should see is a nice spike when you wake up, and then it should come down. And for some people, it starts way up here in the morning, which we don't want. And then the Dutch Complete is just like the regular Dutch test. That's just the urine only.
So do the Dutch Plus if you're going to do it. Go big or go home.
Yeah. And some people don't, when I talk to them, because I usually do an initial call with people to kind of find out what's their story. Do I believe I can help them? Am I the right person? If they aren't telling me a really stressful story, I don't always do the one with the saliva component because it is more expensive. I don't change the price of what I do. I just include the more expensive test because it's the right thing to do. So it just depends. And then Dutch also has a cycle mapping test, which I have used very infrequently because that's more for, in my mind, younger women who are wanting to see
how they're pregnant,
being produced, especially if they're trying to get pregnant or something like that.
Okay, awesome. So you can do what you need to do with somebody with the Dutch test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And you don't need to go get poked and prodded and all of that.
No,
Oh man, I don't know. It sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to sign up for a consultation with you.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know the results of that, I might be brave enough to report that back to you. Or maybe we'll have to bring Dr. Anna back and do a session with me so you guys can all hear. Yes, we can all have things that we can improve on. So
yeah. I reviewed mine on YouTube, on a YouTube video.
Oh yeah. I'm
probably
pretty
3 years.
I'm pretty open with things I have struggled with, you know, weight loss, weight gain. Was never a skinny kid, have always vacillated, 20-ish pounds, have come upon intermittent fasting. Wonderful, has changed my life. I'm now working on changing my relationship with food. So I'm a work in progress, just like we all are.
We all are.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. Well, any last gems you would want our ladies or gentlemen and all of our listeners to know?
Well, I want to speak to the gentleman for just a minute. So gentlemen, if you are out and about dating and you're dating women who are going through perimenopause or menopause, my advice to you is don't touch the thermostat.
Let her control the thermostat.
Exactly. If you're cold, put on a sweater. I would just say to both groups, you know, the hormonal changes can be challenging, but it really is a lovely time of life. And I hear a lot of people complain about the dating pool that's out there. So I'm glad there are people like you running companies like you have that can help people find that perfect partner if that's what they want. So keep up the good work, because it's not something I would ever do.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. So we've been doing this for 14 years and loving every minute of it. We've had zero divorces in 14 years.
That's awesome.
People. Yeah, it's crazy awesome. And we just help people by being encouraging, inspiring, advice-driven. And we've got a lot of tools. We have graphs. We have dating scorecards. We do photo shoots. We are like a conveyor belt for finding love.
Well, that's awesome. And I think the other thing I would say, especially to the ladies in your audience, is don't suffer in silence, because there is help out there and it may not come in the form of your physician. So be willing to look outside the box for people who can help you. So most people probably wouldn't think of working with a pharmacist on these kinds of issues, but I can guarantee you I have more experience than most of the physicians that I've ever run across. So it's my area of expertise, and why not pick somebody who's an expert?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want more of Dr. Anna, or you want to book a consultation with her, tell us how we can do that.
So you can do that on my website, Dr. Anna Garrett, 2 R's and 2 T's .com.
And 2 N's.
And 2 N's. And I'm assuming you'll put this in the show notes.
I will. So,
nobody has to try to remember. My book is perimenopausebook.com. It has its own URL. And then the consultations on my site where it says schedule a call, that's where you do that. And so we can get into the specifics of what you have going on, because everybody's different.
I love that. And I'm sure you do a great service for the people that you work with. You're very empathic and educated in the space, and I can feel that. You're trustworthy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, smart daters, I hope you got as much out of this as I did. And I would love for you to share this episode, share it on your social media, right? And tag us. We'll share you in our stories. Rate this podcast. If you listen to it on Spotify, Apple, just scroll down a little bit. So many of you tell me, I don't know how to like these episodes or rate it. Just look, it's on there. You can give it 5 stars and then it'll say write a review. You can write a review. And if you can't figure it out, hell, I will go on it on Zoom and I'll teach you how to do it. So we read all of your reviews. And they make our hearts really warm and allow us to keep doing the great work that we are doing. We are the little podcast that could. So, yay. So until next week, Dr. Anna, thank you again. And Smart Daters, I will see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.